The Lord be with you.
And with your
spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "When the Son of Man comes again in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit upon his glorious throne, and all the nations will be assembled before him. And he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. A stranger, and you welcomed me. Naked, and you clothed me. Ill, and you cared for me. In prison, and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer him and say, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you ill or in prison and visit you?' The king will say to them in reply, 'Amen, I say to you, whatever you did for one of these least brothers of mine, you did it for me.' Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you accursed, into the eternal fire prepared for you for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. A stranger, and you gave me no welcome. Naked, and you gave me no clothing. Ill and in prison, and you did not care for me.' Then they will answer and say, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger or naked or ill or in prison and not minister to your needs?' He will answer them, 'Amen, I say to you, what you did not do for one of these least ones, you did not do for me.' And these will go off to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. On a personal note, I had heard Mother Teresa speak of this gospel one day, and just so beautiful the way Mother always talked about her sisters just doing the little work of caring for the poor, the sick, the struggling. Mother would often use this as sort of her segue, especially in the United States, to talk about some of the tough topics. You know, what a poor country it is that they can abort their children. Mother would say that's a greater poverty. But she would also talk about the different kinds of hunger and thirst. And she would say how people are hungry for relationship, hungry for love, hungry for forgiveness. And she would go in many directions. I wanted today to just talk a little bit about two parts. The first is the eye of this hunger. It's an interesting culture that in my 20 years of priesthood, and maybe you can see it with some of the folks that you're around, but it's almost as if they don't know just how hungry they are. And yet they express their hunger in a lot of ways, in a virtual way, through virtual relationships or buying things or whatever. But we have to understand that the Lord allows these false hungers to exist in their lives until they are really ready to open themselves to really the grace that God is putting before them. A retreat is a great way to examine what are the hungers and what are the thirsts and what are those nakedness, all those nakedness experiences, so to speak, that exist in my life. It's to actually wake those up in us. It's actually not supposed to be always a solution, although today on the retreat you may have some beautiful insights and you may be able to make some connections, some connect the dots to some of the pain. But ultimately, it's an awakening. Why do I say this? Because after a retreat is really when the work begins. If you're ready to enter into the work of a retreat. You come, you're fed, and when you get to the grace of what God wants to do, is he wants to bring you to a place where you are really self-aware of your hungers and your thirsts and the other dynamics that are working in your life. Not every manifestation of sin in our lives is actually sort of our root wound. So I can be the screamer, but it may have nothing to do with screaming. It may have nothing to do with anger. I may just scream when I feel overwhelmed or isolated or abandoned. And so, again, I'm going to go back to that homegrown wound. If I don't know where that begins in my life and my formative times, then, again, I could be looking at the reaction as opposed to the root. All of you have to get to that place where you understand, why do I do what I do? Why do I have a pattern of this? And be careful that you don't just connect yourself to people who are like you or depend on people who are like you. That's a really burdensome thing. Because burdened people want to connect to burdened people. It's a safe place. But when somebody says, hey, sweetheart, stand on your own two feet. Get up and fight through it. That's exactly the place where then you begin to understand, because I can put a false hunger on my friend. Okay, I'm really hungry for the Lord, but you satisfy this in me, and so I feel safe, or my children, or some ministry, or some act of charity. Folks, get to the deeper understanding. The greater hunger in this gospel is Jesus saying, I am hungry, what? For your love, for your relationship. And so the divine paradox is then he creates that hunger and thirst in you for him. From you for him. So when we begin to be satiated or satisfied or fulfilled in Christ, then you will begin to see all the little things. Yeah, I don't need as much food. I don't need as much shopping. I don't need a lot of that stuff. That's great. But also then you're going to begin to say, well, I don't need a lot of that isolation. I don't need a lot of that name calling. I don't need a lot of that pretend life. It's essential that you begin to understand, really, ladies, what is that hunger that comes from within that is part of the wound of my life, part of the struggle. And we can be on the outside very put together, but very, very fragile and very broken. So that's the first point. I need you to get there, because even we can do religious practices to make us feel good or safe or justified. But again, I can let myself be leaned on by 90 women and be like, oh, this is great. But that could also be an unhealthy hunger for the attention and for the neediness. So what are you, when you examine your ministry or your work or your relationship, what are you really looking for? What are you really looking to create in the people and within you, a hunger and a thirst for Christ? Because that's why you hunger and thirst for Christ yourself. And we begin to stand on our own and begin accountable to be strong in our relationship with the Lord. And what ends up happening is then there's control and, you know, I'm the one helping Sally. I'm in, you know, and all this weird stuff. So beginning to understand that is essential. So, again, it's this personal I that I heard in my prayer today. Like, who is this I? I was hungry. I was thirsty. I was a stranger. I was naked. For all of those I's, Christ has an antidote himself. But we are not the antidote for other people. It is Christ, and neither is my work, or neither is my ministry, or neither is my money, or whatever it may be. That's on a good side. Then we can go to the unhealthy eyes, purity, selfishness, greed. Secondly, is just beginning to understand that the invitation is, come you who are blessed by my Father. Christ actually calls us, in a way, blessed because we are hungry and thirsty and naked and a stranger. We are blessed because we know that we have to turn back to the Lord. Blessedness is not being, not having it all and not needing God. Blessedness is staying in that place of neediness. If it's rooted in Christ, and then it wells up in you, and then it comes out of you. So there's a corollary grace, right? The Father calls me blessed because I'm hungry, thirsty, naked, and so he gives me this love to know that I'm actually hungry and thirsty. Again, so many folks in the culture don't see that they're hungry and thirsty because they think they're fulfilled, but they're really not. And so what do? They isolate, or they get in this one-track experience. And you can see that there's absolute control. I have a baby. I'll call you when you can come and visit, this, that, and it's unbelievable. No freedom in that place. So the Father introduces us to the idea that the blessedness that every one of us has had can have is actually to remain that hungry and thirsty and nakedness. And each of the sacraments is the encounter. Each of the sacraments keeps bringing us back. I am hungry for the Eucharist. I'm thirsty for the mercy of God. I am naked through the baptismal grace, and I'm covered. God provides for each of us this grace. But through that experience is when you then learn that you have received this grace by going out of yourselves to give it. The Lord puts the poor around us, not so that we can say, thanks be to God, here's my old stuff. The Lord puts the poor around us so that this gospel can live itself out in us. So that I actually have to stretch myself and sacrifice myself so that I recognize in that poor man is actually me. I am that poor man. Unfortunately, I just have different clothing on and degrees behind my name. But I am that poor man before God. So the Lord uses poverty, or the poor one, as Mother would say, to teach us about poverty. So here's the teaching. God uses your poverties, your hungers, your thirsts to teach you, right, about gentleness and humility and showing that forgiveness to that brokenness in your place, in your life. It will do no good to self-loathe. Then you get in the way. But when the Lord is moving in a place, there's rejoicing because he says, a poor one, a naked one. I come to bring my grace. I come to bring my love. So I want you to examine in your hearts, what are you doing with the poverties and the hungers? We can all hide. We can all hide behind them in an unhealthy way, or we can actually glorify in them, thank you, Lord, for my poverty, and that my hunger will always look to you. Always seek out to be satiated through you, Lord. Now, here's where you have to examine. Is that happening? Or is it happening through your own, like I want to fulfill it on my own, right? I'm going to fulfill this in my own way, through my pride, through my vanity, right? So I'm really hungry for attention, but I'm just vain. Okay, that's not going to satiate the inner healing of attention that we want. That will just be a proclamation, and it's going to be a constant need, a constant look at me approach. The Lord calls us blessed because of our brokenness and because of our service. Yes, come you are blessed by my Father in two ways, when we recognize our poverty and when we serve them. And I'm proposing that you don't even have to go out of yourself necessarily to begin the mission, but to look at the poverty, the hunger, and the nakedness. And therein lies the grace. The first encounter is Christ feeding us. Then we can go feed other people. So let's celebrate the Mass, but just recognize very deeply that what the Lord can do with us is give us the freedom to recognize the things that we may not like about ourselves. This nakedness and this illness. And yet, it is the invitation of the Lord to that place. He comes for that place. And powerfully, what happens is, just like guys who go serve the poor, they go down and they're like, ta-da, I'm here, let me fix you. And then they come back and they're like, I received way more than I gave. Okay? It's because they see their own poverty if they're relationally open. But if they go down and they're just handing out sandwiches like they're not receiving, oh my gosh, how many times has God given me this sandwich? Then what happens is they will just remain as they are. Okay? Your ability to get more deeply rooted in the work that God wants to do in your life demands recognizing, ultimately, that this blessedness is a grace from the Lord. Jesus makes a promise, right? The poor you will always have with you. Why? Because we are poor before the Lord. Our poverty is why the Father sent Christ, the rich one. I send my Son. He leaves his throne and comes and takes on the clothing of a poor man. He condescends, right? He goes, he leaves to go in to take on the wounds of humanity. And that's the grace. So maybe you have kids that are struggling, or a friend or a family member. Our goal is to not let them just become dependent on us, but to pull them. Come on, let's go to the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Okay? That way they can find the inner healing that they're really looking for. There is no accusation, I don't think, that I've ever experienced when I am in a foreign country in particular, where people ever feel rotten that they're poor. Like when we give out rice and beans in Jamaica, right? No one ever is like, oh, I stink because I'm poor. No one ever does that. I've never seen it. Their only response is, thank you. But for some reason, pride says, what? Oh, I'm embarrassed of my poverty. I can't believe I'm naked. I can't believe this or that. And I think that that is not what Jesus teaches about poverty. That's just me not wanting to be transparent before Jesus. So I encourage you to just rethink about it. Right? It's always so utterly strange when I say to folks, hey, you want confession? No, I'm good, right? Sometimes they say, oh, you want me to offer a mass for your mom? She died. No, we're good. I can't even create in them a hunger. Like I'm actually trying to create in them a hunger. I can't, because they're good. How do we create in people a hunger for the truth, for mercy, for grace? And it's so utterly challenging. And yet, it's an emptiness, but they don't want to put anything in because then that gives them the sense that they have to respond to what is within them. If I'm just empty, I don't have to give. I have nothing to give. I just go through life not giving. But if I am full, I have to give. So I really want you to pray about it. Because the empty ones think they're justified by going through life empty. They're not. Create in them a hunger for the love that God has for them. And as it begins to build up within them, then they can heal and they can be really great instruments if they allow themselves to do so.